In a time of rapid change and social upheaval, strong connections, strong bonds are hard to maintain. The original co-founders of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin, are a case in point. As Harvard students, they cooperated in the early steps of establishing the Facebook website and forming a company. But Zuckerberg then moved from Harvard to Silicon Valley to grow Facebook, and Saverin moved to New York for unrelated work. Saverin even started developing apps that competed against Facebook. The pair fell out, the partnership ended. Saverin's behaviour, based on a different vision, different beliefs, led to their relational bonds breaking. And in the Christian faith too, beliefs lead to behaviours that can help or hinder our bond with God and each other. 1 John was written at a time of shifting beliefs, fractured bonds, and diverse behaviours. A key verse for understanding the letter is in chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. There's been a breakaway group, and they've rejected the leadership and the beliefs of the author. So in the chapters after in chapter 2 after verse 19 and also in chapter 4, the key issue is beliefs about Jesus, his divinity and his humanity. And we also see in chapters 1 and 2 that the breakaway group have some distinctive behaviours. Perhaps they're claiming that they don't sin at all, or maybe they're claiming that sin doesn't matter. Now, why should our churches, St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, look at 1 John right now? Because it's a letter that will help us focus on the foundations of our church life at a time when our way of being church has been through upheaval. It will help us think about the bonds of fellowship, the importance of holding fast to biblical truth, and the need for us to be people of character, people who walk in the light, to use John's terminology, rather than just going with the flow of what's happening around us in culture or according to personal whim. Bonds, beliefs, and behaviours. John, 1 John was written to strengthen believers in their Christian life, and it will help us too to mature as disciples of Jesus in a time of upheaval and change. The first belief that John focuses on is Jesus' identity. He wants his readers to know that Jesus is totally, reliably, historically a real human being. Notice the sense language he uses in verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, and testify to it. And verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. I saw it with my own eyes. I touched him. I spent time with him. I'm an eyewitness. That's the starting point for John. Jesus isn't some disembodied spirit. He's not a myth, a projection of our own fantasies or longings. No, Jesus walked, talked, healed, lived among us, lived among John and the other apostles, and he's calling them as court witnesses. We were all there. We know what we're talking about. Now, in this pandemic, many people today are taking science and the scientific method very seriously because coronavirus is so dangerous. Hunches and untested theories are not sufficient safeguards against infection or outbreaks. And so treatments and vaccine trials are being scrutinized very carefully. Are the results consistent? Are the results verifiable? Are the results open to public scrutiny? Those kind of tests, consistency, verifiability, and openness to public scrutiny. John uses a similar set of standards when presenting the historical truth of Jesus. He says, what I'm telling you is consistent with the other eyewitnesses, the other apostles. That testimony is verifiable because those other eyewitnesses also wrote down or contributed to the other books of the New Testament. And all of these documents are open to public scrutiny. There's also evidence by non-Christian writers. Within a lifetime of Jesus' death, Roman historians and officials like Tacitus and Suetonius and Pliny, they were documenting their interactions with Jesus' followers and in the process affirming Jesus' life and death. So for historians of the ancient world, there is no serious doubt that Jesus lived and died as recorded in the New Testament. John doesn't just want to say, however, that Jesus was truly human. That's a historical claim. He's saying a lot more. Notice how he refers to Jesus. That which was from the beginning, the word of life, the eternal life, which was with the Father. The writer of 1 John is making a theological claim. Jesus reveals God to us. Jesus is God, since only God is eternal, and only God is the source of life. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 9, this idea of revelation is expressed clearly. Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know God, examine, investigate, and look deeply into the person and character of Jesus. He's existed from the beginning of time, from before the beginning of time. He is life eternal in himself. He has always been with God. And this phrase, the Word, which means the communication, the information, the expression, the manifestation of something else. Jesus is all of those things making God known to us. In a world where we have gigabytes of information at our fingertips, in our phones, available through our TVs or our laptops or tablets, humanity is not crying out for more data, but for personal experience, for relationship. Jesus reveals God to us not as some theory or idea or hypothesis. No, Jesus reveals God to us as a loving Father, always inviting people not just to know something about him, but to enter into relationship, to enter into fellowship with him. So in verse 3, John writes, I'm saying all of this so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And here's a vital insight for us as a church. Knowing God involves fellowship with God's people. John wanted his readers to enjoy fellowship with God by maintaining their fellowship with him and with the other apostles who had passed on the good news about Jesus. Faith is not a solo adventure. Knowing God is inherently communal. It's inherently relational because God is inherently communal. He is the three-in-one God. So please don't give up on Christian fellowship because of this pandemic. For now, our fellowship is conducted over the internet, over Zoom, over phone calls. Perhaps there are some brief socially distanced interactions in the outdoor space. But when we're able and when it's safe to do so, we must resume face-to-face fellowship. Because church life is participation in God's family life. We need each other. We need each other to care for each other, to challenge each other, to spur each other on to greater holiness and greater maturity and greater boldness for the gospel. So the pattern we see is this. Jesus is historically verifiable. He is fully human. And Jesus reveals God's person and purposes to us because Jesus himself is divine. Jesus opens the way for us to know God personally in a way that wasn't possible previously. He does this because there was a behavioral problem. There was a barrier that prevented us knowing God. And 1 John 1 talks about it in verses 5 to 10, which I want to look at now. Verse 5 and 6 say, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. When we get to know God as revealed in Jesus, we realize we're not like Jesus. We're not totally good. We're not pure of heart. We're not consistently and comprehensively dedicated to doing God's will in our lives. Instead, we're a mixed bag, sometimes gloriously good, sometimes shamefully selfish or conflicted or vengeful or cowardly. Some of us are burdened by guilt for mistakes made in the past, for failures in our life. But for others, the symptom of their sin problem is perhaps fear of missing out, jealously looking around at how other people are going, seeing other people apparently enjoying themselves more or earning more or living better lives than us. Whether it's guilt or pride or jealousy, these are all symptoms that we've got a sin problem. And that sin is a barrier that stops us knowing God and approaching God. Our sin problem excludes us from fellowship with God, who is pure light. See, there's no darkness, no sin in him. And verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10 puts it this way, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. How can we know God? That is, how can we have fellowship with God when he is so good? And we are not totally good. We're not totally pure. We're not worthy. We do it by admitting our sins, by confessing our sins and turning to the cross as the place where God has dealt with humanity's sin problem once and for all. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And verse 7 explains that he does this through the blood of Jesus, that is his death in our place. So 1 John helps us lay solid foundations for our church life, because as a fellowship of humble and honest sinners, we all cling to the cross for mercy, for forgiveness and regeneration. The alternative is not pretty. Some churches include people who are posturing to appear good enough in themselves. Or some churches feature people who judge others, looking down on others for being worse than them. Or there are people who are jealous of others because they seem to have received more blessing than them. those kind of judgmental or jealous or self-righteous attitudes, those beliefs create bad behavior, rivalry and mistrust and division. And bad behavior then cracks the bonds of good fellowship. In July, you might remember there were news stories featuring images of New South Wales coastal homes that were in danger of falling into the sea after storms washed away the sand cliffs that their properties were perched atop. Poor foundations and poor maintenance of the shoreline left these homeowners vulnerable. Now, in our own way, the months of isolation we've experienced are a storm surge that has had the potential to weaken our church foundations and our fellowship. But 1 John is the reinforcement we need right now. It comes down to beliefs and behaviours and bonds. To know God, to enjoy fellowship with God, we need to believe in His Son, to trust His Son, Jesus Christ, and to confess our sins so that His Son's death purifies us and restores the bonds of fellowship with God and each other. And those foundations, those beliefs and behaviours will strengthen our bonds together and our bond with God. May you experience the deep joy that comes from knowing God and walking with God this week. Amen.